The Outlet. The talk of Wanaka.
Early on in my tenure, it was obviously housing came through quite strongly, both in the media and in the public. I think as we transitioned out of the pandemic and getting the wheels back on the tourism train, let's say, staff retention and the housing of staff was pretty much a critical issue, especially for businesses here in Queenstown and Wanaka. And staffing sort of eased off, but the housing issue still remains, and that will remain some time.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour, and in this podcast, I talk to Queenstown Lakes District Mayor Glyn Lewis. Glyn has been mayor for about a year and a half, and we discuss the big talking points from both the public and councillors, the challenges faced last year with water and landslides, what a new government means for funding, and Project Manawa.
Local voices, local info, The Outlet, the talk of Wanaka.
Let's check out a local event in Wanaka, brought to you by Liquorland Three Parks, there for your next event with unreal deals. Now, the Wanaka Sunday Craft Market is on every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can see great arts and crafts at Pembroke Park. Now, handmade in New Zealand, it's art directly from the artists. Everything from pottery and photography to wood and wool. It's run by the Upper Clutha Community Arts Council, and all the info is on the What's On button, then events on your Wanaka app. Queenstown Lakes District Mayor Glyn Lewis has had a year and a half at the helm and has led the region through a few challenges at the end of last year. We find out about concerns from residents and council members, what to expect from the new government, and the complexities of Project Manawa. G'day Glyn, welcome to the Outlet Podcast.
G'day Brendan, how's your day been so far?
Oh, it's been awesome. Now, you're a very busy man. You're about a year and a half into your term as mayor. So from talking to people, whether it's fellow councillors or the public, what are the things that keep coming through as their biggest concerns?
Yeah, so early on in my tenure, it was obviously housing came through quite strongly, both in the media and in the public. I think as we transitioned out of the pandemic and getting the wheels back on the tourism train, let's say, staff retention and the housing of staff was pretty much a critical issue, especially for businesses here in Queenstown and Wanaka. And staffing sort of eased off, but the housing issue still remains, and that will remain some time. I think when I look at the Lakes District Museum, I've got this little photo on my phone that's got a little article from 1972 that talks about exactly what we're talking about now. That doesn't mean that it's right to have these housing shortages here, but it is it's a tough structural issue that, and as I've delved into it over the last year that we've just had, you see that it's quite complex, and the actual reasons why we have the housing shortages as we do, it's not just a real quick fix. There has to be concerted effort amongst many agencies to turn that one around.
Yeah, there's definitely no quick fix for it, is there?
No, and councillors, it's hard because, I had seven new councillors this term. It's fair to say, I don't want to speak on their behalf, but from my point of view, it took a while to get their feet under the table and feel comfortable in expressing their views. And believe it or not, it's the simple issues that affect day-to-day running of just living your lives normally. Those cost of living pressures are evident, and just making day-to-day stuff easier for residents. That's what the councillors there mainly think about, and how to make business run properly and how those community facilities can be run and accessible to all and have that equity of access across the district. It's pretty simple in those respects, but we've got some pretty strong headwinds that we're going to have to deal with. And when I look at now, I think we'll talk about it a bit later, but the long-term plan, I still believe this is the toughest long-term plan that any council has ever had to deal with in the Queenstown Lakes history.
Well, you have got a lot on your plate and a lot of things to do. And of course, we throw into that mix a new government. So has there been an update from central government on funding? They're always talking about cutting costs, and Chris Luxon ruled out a bed tax and a visitor levy last time he was in Queenstown. So are you hearing any solutions being offered?
So they've got a 100-day plan that they're working to, and I think we can look at that plan and see, okay, they're just winding back some of the stuff the previous government did. I think there's some philosophical differences between the two, and the country voted to allow those philosophical differences to be enacted. So they're doing that, and I think once that 100-day plan gets sorted through, I'm forever hopeful, let's say, that discussions over how the revenue side for local government is addressed. Costs are increasing, and the costs are increasing if you're in a business or even in the household. They're all increasing. We all understand that. But the revenue side, that has not kept pace. And then you're also cognizant of the fact that we just can't keep taking extra rates from the same people all every year, year on year. But that is the only way councils are funded at this present time. And it's the only mechanism we have. As for different funding options, the visitor levy is still live. I think it's probably got wheels nationally now, but in a way that probably doesn't benefit Queenstown as much as we'd hope. But the current government has been open to talk about different ways that funding can be sourced and different ways of raising it. I'd probably say that the ACT policies are probably more beneficial for Queenstown, but I don't know how applicable they are elsewhere in New Zealand. So it's a watch the space a bit, but I can tell you now that I'm in the ear of any politician from central government at any time, whether that ear is not in Queenstown or in Wellington.
That sounds good. So, I mean, all this must be impacting on your plans for council spending. And, you know, as you mentioned, how does it affect rates?
Yeah, so just before we all went on break, late December, we got a letter and a directive from the Minister for Local Government regarding Three Waters. And it's a complete turnaround from the previous government, where Three Waters are now back on in council's books. And I've just spent the last 2 weeks back in the office trying to figure that out with staff, how we can massage that back into our long-term plan. We're talking about probably about just over $800 million worth of investment back onto our balance sheet. And obviously, that affects rates. And I publicly said that it was always going to cost if it came back into council spending. And you're probably looking at 3 to 5% extra in rates consistently over the next 10 years on top of what we've already been planning. We, as councillors and myself as the mayor, we're looking at some of these figures and we're looking pretty hard at them, because there's going to be some very tough decisions and there's going to be some pretty uncomfortable conversations in the next month or two.
We'll get back to my chat with Queenstown Lakes District Mayor Glenn Lewis shortly, where we'll chat about all the unexpected challenges he had to face last year. But first, here are some of the jobs listed this week on the Wanaka app. Thanks to New World 3 Parks for when it's your job to do the grocery shopping. And these jobs are current as of Feb 15. Wanaka Joinery are looking for a creative designer to be part of their awesome creative team, where values really count. Now, you'll be working alongside people and having face-to-face interaction with clients. The hours are 37 to 40 hours per week, and applications close Feb 26. And Yellow are looking for day drivers. The hours are 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. They say no day is ever the same at Yellow. It could be taxi driving, airport transfers, wedding event bus driving, and a whole lot more. If you want to find out about these jobs and more, simply click on the jobs button on the navigation bar of your Wanaka app. Now it's back to my interview with Queenstown Lakes District Mayor Glenn Lewis. You are working through lots of major issues and, you know, trying to keep pace with the tourism numbers growing again. Then you're throwing unexpected things like the crypto bug and the water plant barrier issues, the landslips. You've had some really challenging things all land at once, Glenn. So what was it like to take all those phone calls and then have to take all those meetings and start to sort those problems out?
It's interesting. While you're in the middle of it, you do what you have to do and you make the best decisions you can on the information you have in front of you at the time. And so expanding on it, while those emergency or those issues are occurring, it's you're pretty much present and just dealing with the here and now at the time. And yeah, it was challenging, but what gives you confidence, especially in the emergency management side, is when you see all that planning and preparation just click straight into gear and it's such a well-oiled machine, it does give you confidence. And it means, hey, I've got to step up and actually support this crew because they're doing such an amazing job behind the scenes. And look, when we had the crypto bug happen and then unfortunately the landslide and the weather issue, pretty much in that same week, yeah, council resources were stretched. Now, I can remember comm staff were up till midnight dealing with the crypto stuff, and then the next day the rain hit and we were short 2 or 3 comm stuff, so we couldn't actually get messages out that we wanted in the time, but we just had to deal with it as that arose. Coming, stepping back, there's probably this whole, these last Christmas holidays have probably given me time to reflect on how I would handle it differently, or would I handle it the same? And it's probably, from my own reflection, probably asking questions differently to people that have given me advice at the time. But overall, I'm pretty happy how we dealt with it. We're just now moving into how we could probably deal with it better, and some of those strategic decisions of how we can make sure some of these things never happen again. You always look for the opportunities out of stuff like this. I'll admit, it was a tough time.
Well, that's important, I mean, because you are, as you say, in the here and now.
Yeah.
But actually, probably on reflection, you're thinking, well, it does help when you're thinking about the planning for the future, right?
Yeah, and it does. And especially, well, look, water investment, crypto Spiridium. Let's just put the barriers in. We took the opportunity not just to put the barrier in at the 2 mile one, that was the concern of the regulator. We actually funded and made sure that we got the protozoa barriers in on West Wanaka, and further upgrades will happen over on that side of the hill as well. So to be in the middle of that crisis and then still see the opportunities where we can actually protect other parts of the district and actually put critical infrastructure in at that same time and use it as an opportunity, I thought that was great thinking from council, and to have that foresight and planning saying, hey, we're in the middle of a mess here, but hey, we've got some opportunities to really go for it for the whole district. It means that the rest of the country is all out of UV filters, and I see the regulators now told them they've got to put them all in, but we've pretty much taken all the market supply out of New Zealand. So there's a little bit of an advantage of being the first mover. No, you always, yeah. You got to be a little bit happy with that one. So they'll probably be paying more for their UV fill.
Now, there's been a lot of local feedback too about Project Manawa, saying that the new council office should be in Frankton rather than the CBD. So can you give me a bit of an update on your thinking on this?
Okay, so we went out to consultation on two things with regarding that site in town. So the first one was a land tenure status exchange. So all we're doing there, all we're proposing is to uplift the reserve status of the land and swap it out to freehold and shift the reserve status out to land we own out in Frankton. That's one part of the proposal. The second part of the proposal was the establishment of a CCR, of a council-controlled organisation, in partnership with Ngāi Tahu to do a joint venture to build council offices. I'm a little bit reluctant to give you my thinking because I've got to keep an open mind because we're under,
yeah, sure,
we're going through consultation and hearings. But I can tell you that over the last year and actually seeing this progress and seeing where we are now, the status quo of where we are with these five different offices across Queenstown, the type of buildings we're in, the building that we're in, that we, the actual council chambers on Broad Road, that's untenable. Status quo is not an option. It will cost a lot more to keep status quo. Rates would rise if we keep status quo, if we were to follow that. The two cheapest options is the one before us, JV with Ngāi Tahu in Stanley Street, or we build it ourselves on our own land. Now, the bet to happen would probably have to upfront more front-end cost, so this generation would probably pay more rather than spreading it over multiple, say, have entering into generational debt. The reason why that would cost less in the long term if we just build it on our own land is because our rate of lending is roughly 2-3% less than what you can go to the bank with. Problem is land. We are very short of land in Frankton. The only land available we could do this would be, say, the event centre. The other side of that is the real shortage in recreational facilities we see in Queenstown are sports fields and indoor courts. So we could, okay, go to Frankton, we then rob Peter to pay Paul, sort of thing. We destroy our recreational view and put in civics here. We've got 5 mile out there, same situation. We bought that for community facilities, sports fields, because we know there's a shortage. We just grew at 8% this year over the district. It was actually 9% in Queenstown, 5% in Wanaka, 8% on average over the district. So we've got some pretty big growth issues. But then I go back to Project Manawa, and that's a whole suite of things. And it's just it's the civic centre for the council offices, a library, performing arts, and actually initiating a public transport hub. it's a bit of a strategic project that also involves creating more transport routes coming through from Arthur's Point. When we upgrade that Cavell Bridge, brings in a new entry to Queenstown. It also opens up whether we go down stages 2 and 3 for the bypass arterial route, where that even opens up more city development and how we want to see Queenstown CBD develop. Then also probably more recreational availability and events availability at the Queenstown recreation ground in the middle of town. So there are some benefits for town that it's not just a civic centre for myself and CE to sit and drink coffee or whatever people think we do. When I look at the costings and the financials side of it, the two options of build our own on our own land that we own and the one before us, Project Manawatu, over the long term, the 30 years, they're probably much rates neutral. But when you look at Manawa, it allows us to invest, to one, do that land status swap from reserve to freehold, and it allows us to actually participate in capital gain in the land value underneath. And that's actually building asset value for Queenstown, for the residents of Queenstown. If we don't do that, it'll stay as reserve. The actual asset value of the land will stay stagnant. We will not participate in any capital gain in land value. So there are pros and cons of each one, but we'll just wait till the consultation. And obviously that decision regarding land status swap and CCO, that's only one step. The actual step of actually building on there, that will probably be a decision looking at our long-term planning 5 years away. So it's not a decision for now.
Well, there's a lot going on, Glenn, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, and sometimes it's a real struggle in how we communicate those thoughts and ideas, because it's like 6-7 years of work that's gone into that. And to put it out there in a little 5-page glossy can be quite difficult.
Yeah, no, that's great. But hey, you know, everything is still up for discussion and you got your work ahead for you. Well, it's been really great having a chat to you today, Glenn, and I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Will do, and thanks, Brent. It's been pretty good to talk, and hopefully I didn't talk too much.
No, it's been absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Cheers.
On Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, The Outlet.
The talk of Wanaka.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview and information podcast for Wanaka. Now, if you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, get in touch by using the contact button on the navigation bar of your Wanaka app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Wanaka app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available in the podcast section of your Wanaka app and wherever you get your podcasts.